Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. NBA champion, league most valuable player, finals MVP, 18-time All-Star, 5-time NBA champion, Oscar winner, entrepreneur, philanthropist, father, husband, youth basketball coach. Kobe Bryant was all of those things and more. Now he is gone, tragically killed over the weekend, along with his teenage daughter and 7 others in a helicopter crash on a hillside in Southern California. Tonight, we remember Kobe Bryant, his life and his legacy. We'd like you to be part of the conversation. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest this evening, Kelly Evans. She's an editor, writer, and producer with ESPN's The Undefeated. Jeff Coach Weems, HUR Voices announcer. He'll share with us his thoughts on Kobe Bryant. Coach is a former coach and basketball player. And on the phone lines with us is Eitan Thomas, a veteran NBA player, former player, and author. He'll join us just a little later. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we begin with our guest, I want to play something that happened in the Senate chambers today during the impeachment trial of President Trump. The Senate chaplain opened his prayer today with this.
You have been our mighty God. As millions mourn the deaths of Kobe and Gianna Bryant and those who died with them.
So, Kelly Evans, we have the chaplain, Barry Black, opening up his prayer today during the impeachment trial of President Trump. And Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the 7 others that died were mentioned. Does this solidify the impact of Kobe Bryant and his life and his legacy, the fact that that happened today?
No.
Why not?
In my opinion, I don't think it should always take death for Black men and women to be noticed. Kobe has done a lot, and I don't think there was that would solidify his legacy, but it's a good sentiment.
Does it say something, though, that the fact that it was interposed with an impeachment trial, that the chaplain felt that it was so much of an impact, or Bryant's persona was so much of an impact, that he could actually include him in his prayer over an impeachment trial?
It's news. And it's the hot news right now, so it was smart to do. You know, I think it was sincere, of course, because it is prayer, and it was very heartfelt. But I think that it hit so many people. Sports is one of those things that crosses barriers. No matter who you are, where you are, it's sometimes bridged racial divides in certain areas of the country, especially down south. You know, people could go to sports games all the time and no one sees color when you're at sports events. So it's not surprising to me that that happened. But, hey, it's a good sentiment.
Coach Jeff Weems, you are a former basketball coach, former all-star basketball player on the high school and collegiate level, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you can take that.
I'll take it.
Talk to me about your reaction to the reaction of the death of Kobe Bryant. Surprise of the worldwide reaction? I mean, this isn't just a national thing. This is worldwide.
Yes and no. I think... you know, this is one of those things that it's like it's going to always be remembered as those moments. Where were you when you heard the news? I happened to be in Sam's Club, and all you heard was amongst all of the shopping and talking, you started hearing, is it true? Is it true? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then, you know, I'm like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, you know, people are standing, everything just stopped, it seemed. Everything just held still and stopped, and people just started becoming sad. And I don't know. It was a shocking moment for the world. It was. So you never really know the impact you have on people until you know, until times like this. The one thing I say about funerals is, what I like about funerals is, which is strange to say, is that that's when you hear all of the stories and how somebody's life impacted, you know, theirs, not just yours, but you hear other people's stories. And then you're not being able to turn away from the TV and or the radio today. You hear all of these different people, you know, everyday people just talking about just the things that he did that impacted him, which meant a lot.
And we've heard that. But, Kelly, we've also heard of athletes from talking to Drew Brees at the Pro Bowl, NBA players, obviously, athletes up and down, just not basketball players. What has struck you on the reaction from the sports standpoint? Because that's what you cover, and we know sports really covers everything culturally. But has anything sort of stuck out to you in terms of the reaction that you've seen from sports figures?
The tears. The tears. It's not very often that you see grown men cry. And this allowed men to show their emotions. And that really stood out to me because it doesn't happen very often. So when we see it, we recognize it. I have not seen so many grown men cry publicly in a very long time. Very, very long time. And this, today, yesterday, I saw it. It was hard to watch basketball yesterday. It's very hard to watch those games. You see Tim Duncan crying, Tyson Chandler and Vince Carter, you know, Tracy McGrady today, just to watch those guys. That kind of took me out, so.
And do you think it was okay, Coach, that they played the games yesterday? Or either one?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, at the time that it happened, it was, you know, you got stadiums that are filled already, you know, arenas that are filled already. You have tennis, you know, you had that going on. So it was like all of these different sports. You had the soccer, all of these different sports that were going on. And, you know, you talk about the time difference. So, you know, you're in California. So by the time we received the news, you know, this is something that had already transpired some time ago. So, you know, what happened in terms of the Lakers and the Clippers game being canceled, I thought that was appropriate. But in terms of them playing, yeah, I thought they should.
Now, Kelly, you moaned. Were you sort of not sure if they should have played? Did you have a different opinion?
It's almost like, what would Kobe do? And I think Kobe would have wanted everybody to play. Mm-hmm. But you heard so many narratives about they should cancel the games, people shouldn't play. So that was really a big deal on, like, all of my social channels. Of course, working for ESPN, my text messages were blowing up. But a lot of people said, I don't think they should be playing right now. And it was difficult for them to get through those games. Mm-hmm. Kyrie had to leave.
And we saw where Greg Popovich, mm-hmm. right, they took the 24-second clock, yeah. ran it down. He's wearing number 24. Yeah. I think some teams didn't cross the half-court right. line with yeah. the 8 seconds, and Kobe wore number 8. So they found creative ways, I think, to honor him. But I think the basic feeling was that many felt that Kobe Bryant would want.
Absolutely.
Because of the way he was committed to the game, to play the games. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Tonight we're discussing the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant. Let's go to those phone lines. Anthony calling from College Park. Go right ahead, Anthony, with your question or comment.
Yeah, good evening. Just a comment. Thank you for having me. I'm a California guy, born and raised in Southern California, but I live here in the DMV area now. And just to touch on the fact that, you know, during my formative years, the Lakers were always, you know, in the championship. I think 7 out of 10 years they were there. And so what that does to a city, especially like D.C., who's recently experiencing, like, recent success, it fills everyone with a sense of pride. And it just, you know, it bolsters the entire city and community. And what Kobe and the Lakers did was really give a lot of people confidence in whatever they were doing. Whether it be sports or training or whatever they were doing, we had a lot of confidence just based on the fact that, you know, people like Kobe existed and they made us believe in, you know, not only his ability, but the ability of us to feel and therefore execute very well. So I'm very sad that he's gone. But he meant a lot of things to a lot of people, not only here in the DMV area, but in the globe as well.
All right. Thank you so much for your comment, Anthony. Coach, you know, one of the things that was talked about with Kobe Bryant that you were hearing was, you know, his commitment to excellence on the court. I think they were playing an interview with Patrick Ewing a little while ago, where he was an assistant coach at Orlando, and Kobe was down there with his family, I think maybe going to Disney World, and he wanted to come into the facilities and work out, and Patrick Ewing said, well, you know, you can come in after we finish, and he would come in at 5 in the morning to work out, right, before he played and took his kids to Disney World. Yeah. And so those stories, what does that say about him when we think also now of his legacy? Did that transcend to other things for him after he retired?
Absolutely. You can see it. I mean, it was very clear that he had it in his mind already and in the works what he was going to do after he played. I mean, it was like just a domino effect. You went right into writing his books, and he's doing a podcast. He was doing several things. He come out with an Oscar. He started getting awards. I mean, he's doing the circuit where he's promoting his books. He was on the second book. He had just finished the second book. And it just showed his commitment. And then that commitment, not only to that, but even to, it's ironic, you know, he's getting up. He's taking it, you know, they're taking a helicopter ride to his Mambo Academy, where the games are being played that he loved. Now he was committed to his daughter and working with other players and NBA across the board. Athletes go to this Mambo Academy, and he's there, and he's training these
and
folks.
I think that the tragedy, too, of this accident, Kelly, was so much that for, you know, pretty much almost his whole NBA career, he took that helicopter, right? He took that trip all the time, his private helicopter. And now here on this helicopter he's on with his daughter, which he probably had traveled before with his daughters and others. And I would think that part of the weight of this is that the young people that died, and that Kobe Bryant also died with his daughter on that helicopter, and then the pictures that we see. Would you agree that his daughter dying with him adds sort of to the great melancholy we have about what's happened?
Listen, that took me out. I'm a parent, and my daughter's I have an adult child. And today when she's in the car with me, if I have to hit brakes hard, I'm reaching across to protect her. And the fact that you can't protect your child in imminent death, that just really got to me. And for all the parents there, all the kids there, that's a hard pill to swallow. You know, we worry about our children when they aren't with us. But when they are with us, we feel safe because we feel like we can protect them. But in that moment, think about, it's nothing you can do. Yeah. It's nothing you can do.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant, one of the all-time best in NBA history. Let's go back to the phone lines. Aaron is calling from Suitland. Aaron, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Bear with me. I think you'll be blessed to hear this. My son came downstairs and said, "Dad, did you know Kobe had died?" I covered my eyes. Then I screamed, "Why?" as I cried. I got mad. I was sad. Then I got excited. I thought about the positive impact he made with his life. Then I wiped my tears. I started reciting. I got a little deeper. Then I started typing. He had a commitment to excellence. He had a will to be great. A killer instinct on the court. They called him Mamba, the Black Snake. He'd slide by the defenders like he was on skates. And just like Ovechkin, they called him the Great Ape. Then number 24 for all day, the way he go hard on the wood floors. In life, no one is perfect, yet he made some mistakes, but he got back right with God and his wife and got back in the paint. So in life, he's a GOAT, got awards for his books that he wrote, and working with kids to try to show them the right way to go. Now I'm inspired, no longer crying, as I celebrate the life and the legend of Kobe being Bryant. Rest in peace to Kobe and all the loved ones that passed away.
Thank you so much, Aaron. these are committed people, committed fans to Kobe Bryant. Coach, he's a five-time NBA champion. Here's a kid that comes out of high school, right? He's 18. He comes in his first, I think it was the NBA Finals against Utah. He throws up like about, not Utah, maybe a playoff series with Utah. He throws up like five air balls. He keeps shooting the ball. Talk a little bit about when we see Kobe Bryant in the early years, right? And the player that he was, no college, coming straight out of high school. Did you see him change? I want you to get into that. Did he change in his years as he got older, the longer he was in the NBA, playing with Shaquille O'Neal? So I want to get into all of that and also all that he did after he retired. 41, he dies, very short life, but he got a lot packed into that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to continue this conversation on SiriusXM channel 141. So, Dada, stay right there. Barbara, we're going to get to you. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Angela Stribling is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our focus is on the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant lost his life Sunday in a helicopter crash on a hillside in Southern California. Also, his 13-year-old daughter perished with him, along with seven others on that helicopter. But tonight, our focus is on his life and his legacy, Kobe Bean Bryant. We want you to be part of this conversation. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest in studio tonight, Kelly Evans. She's an editor, writer, and producer with ESPN's The Undefeated. And Jeff Coach Wims with HUR Voices, an announcer and also a former coach and outstanding player. 202, basketball player, by the way, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go. We'll go to the phone lines in 1 second. We'll catch Adana. Are you there, Adana? Adana. Let's go to Adana with your question or comment. Madonna. Okay, we lost Adana. We'll get right back to Adana. Coach, I want to ask you something. We were talking during the break. I ran a soundbite from Barry Black, the chaplain in the Senate, and I talked about how he prayed for Kobe Bryant and those who lost their lives in the helicopter crash. But you didn't find that really that odd that he did that. Share why.
No, I don't. I'm familiar with Chaplain Barry Black. I have heard his sermons and been to see him several times. He's an avid sports fan. But I think when you speak of prayer, a lot of times in those, we're talking about this whole impeachment process. And I think what he did was brought some humanity back to all of this political craziness. It's like, okay, you're in here fighting. But, you know, we have some lives that are lost, that are impacting people all over the world, you know, whether you follow it or not, you know. And I have to give some credit to the president. He did tweet. There was a very political correct tweet that he did. But in terms of him praying.
And he tweets a lot.
Yeah, but
I will say the tweet that he put out was pretty straightforward. Yeah, you know,
I'm not sure if he did it, but we're going to give him the credit. But yes, I thought that was appropriate for Chaplain Barry Black to bring back some humanity to all of that political craziness right now.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight is Kobe Bryant, his life and his legacy. Kelly Evans, listen, LeBron James, many people like LeBron James and players in the NBA around his age and a little younger. A lot of what you hear is that, listen, Kobe Bryant was our Michael Jordan, you know, for the later generation. You know, when I was coming up, Michael Jordan was the Michael Jordan. But to many players like LeBron James of his age, Kobe Bryant was his Michael Jordan. He passed Kobe Bryant on the all-time scoring list for number three on Saturday. That was Kobe Bryant's last sort of public announcement when he tweeted him saying congratulations. And I'm always interested in
the players and how they viewed Kobe Bryant. He's been retired a couple years now. Talk a little bit about these players and how they viewed Kobe, and especially LeBron James. We saw him getting off the plane, walking across the tarmac, broken up, emotional, and you talked about that a little earlier. Would you agree that Kobe Bryant has the impact of a Michael Jordan on today's players?
Oh, yeah. Kobe has what he called the Mamba mentality.
And tell folks what the Mamba is if they don't know what that is.
So, of course,
that's his nickname.
That's his nickname, Black Mamba, and it's a self-titled nickname. It's a name he gave himself when he was having his evolution. Of course, we talked about this earlier. When he came into the league, it took him a couple of years. He didn't have any peers to play with. You know, he came straight from high school. He didn't play with any of these guys. Took him a couple of years to get acclimated. So he gave his name, himself the name Black Mamba. Then he went on to develop the Mamba mentality. That's just a conscientious effort to have a model that included self-improvement. It's where you talk yourself, you use like six different phrases to kind of talk yourself into improving, into reaching the highest level that you possibly can. And you're laser focused on that with honesty, dedication, and a few more others in there. And he applied that mentality to his lifestyle. So you have these younger players who have watched you evolve. They've watched you overcome. They've watched you in the gym at 5 a.m., before games, after games. They saw you breathe, live this game. And just because of his work ethic, this was something that these guys wanted to do. And he set the standard for it. MJ set the standard for it. You know, he was always in the gym. Kobe was always in the gym, and he had a cockiness about it.
And you know, the interesting thing about Kobe, Coach, and Kelly, is when you saw him when he first came out, and I thought this when I would watch him, he walked like Michael Jordan.
MJ. Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of moved like Michael Jordan. And so you could see that all of the things that Michael Jordan would do. Did you notice that, Coach?
Well, it's funny you say that because earlier in his career, there were pictures side by side of like them walking, mm-hmm. like walking away. There were pictures of them side by side with the fadeaway jumper. So he mimicked Mike. You know, he really did. I mean, he was doing things that exactly like it was. I mean, like picture perfect, like Mike.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant. We'd like to hear from you. Join the conversation. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Barbara is calling from the district. Go right ahead, Barbara.
Yes, I'm saddened by the tragic loss of Kobe. I felt that he was getting ready to embark on, you know, the second half of his life, which he was not able to do. And the best was yet to come. There was much more than what has already been revealed, you know. And it was silent by the loss.
And thank you so much, Barbara. That's what a lot of people are saying, Coach. I think a lot of people have that feeling. First of all, you know, the thing with Kobe Bryant, because he came out, Kelly, so early, and Coach, at 18, I got to tell you, and I've followed sports, I literally thought that Kobe Bryant, I said, well, he's probably about 50. And I forgot, you know, because he had been in the league for 20 years, he was only 41 years old. Yeah. What do you think, Coach, would be coming for Kobe Bryant? He had already won an Oscar, right? He had the Mamba Academy that he was flying to, right? He wrote poetry. He spoke three different languages. What else was left for this 41-year-old man?
Well, I tell you this. One of the things that he was he talked about a little bit on the, I think it was a Jimmy Kimmel show, was I think one of the things that he was waiting to see was his daughter make it into WNBA. She wanted to go to UConn. They already had a shrine for her, a jersey for her and everything, but for her to go to the NBA, WNBA, and actually win a championship. And I think that right there would have really put a different type of icing on the cake for Kobe.
And you know, he talked about Kelly and Coach when they would talk about, hey, you've got four daughters. Don't you wish you had a son who could continue the Kobe Bryant legacy? And if his daughter Gianna was around, who was very tall, she said, hey, No. The legacy will continue.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Kobe Bryant's involvement with women's sports, right? And his commitment to that. We hear a lot of talk about that, Kelly. But Kobe Bryant really put his time and his money behind that. Why do you think that was? You think it was because he had four daughters?
Yeah, of course. He has four daughters. And also, he really believes in women's sports, like a lot of the NBA players do now. Just the other day, he made the comment that there are a few players who could play in the NBA today. And he was speaking of Maya Moore, Elena Delladova.
I think I got that right.
I get tongue twisted every right. time I say her name. But he made reference to that, and I believe him. I believe him.
I also think, to piggyback on that, I think it spoke to his passion for the game itself, you know. And it wasn't just about, you know, men or women's sports. It was about his passion for the game and what he saw as a potential. You have, like you said, you have women who can play this game and who have the mentality that he has and could have made and could actually play it in the NBA field. So
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. We are discussing the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's life ended on Sunday when his helicopter crashed along a hillside in Southern California, taking the life of his 13-year-old daughter and seven others. We'd like you to join the conversation, and joining us now is Tracy Murray. Tracy Murray is a former assistant coach with the Lakers, and he worked with Kobe Bryant. Coach Murray, thank you so much for joining us. What are your thoughts, your memories of Kobe Bryant?
Well, I was a teammate, a brother, and a coach, and coach team. You know, I've seen, I knew Kobe from day one. He got here when he was 18 years old in L.A. So him and the family, I've been knowing them for years. And this, you saw him grow up right in front of your eyes, and he just wasn't done yet. That's the thing that is killing a lot of people. It was way, way too soon. No one could have seen this one coming. It just took the wind out of everybody's sail.
Coach, talk a little bit about, are you still based in L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the reaction of the city? We know that the city is flying the flags at half staff. They had the L.A. airport, I believe it was, wrapped and lit up in purple and gold. What's sort of the feel in L.A.? We can see things on television, but give us a sense of, you know, what it feels like right now in the L.A. and the greater metropolitan area.
Well, I was broadcasting a game in Eugene, Oregon yesterday, the UCLA-Oregon game, so I didn't get back until today. So I saw everything that you guys saw on TV last night. But knowing L.A. and his impact in L.A., his impact was just as big, if not bigger, than Magic Johnson's impact here. So you can look at him like Mr. L.A. He had like a cult following here, you know, and it was from all races. It wasn't just us as African Americans. It was a Latino following. He had a white following. He had he grabbed so many people, and you know, they followed him. And he didn't just impact L.A. He didn't just impact Philly, where he's from. He didn't just impact France, Italy, where he spent a lot of time as a kid with his dad playing over there. He impacted the world.
Yeah, and Tracy,
and he wasn't done impacting the world. That's crazy.
And Kelly, and we see that. We saw that when you would see the clips. I can't remember the player for one of the, I think it was an Italian team. He scored a goal and he put up the fingers with 24 because Kobe even he even worked with him, right? And the Italian team there. So he was really a global personality.
Right.
Yes. But what
he was a global basketball ambassador, and he was also, his transition that he was making, you weren't going to forget about his basketball career. He was going to be so much bigger than that. Who do you know go from being a basketball player to being an Academy Award winner?
Yeah, you don't see that too often.
No, his attention to detail, his intelligence, his goal setting, his work ethic, everything that, that he was throwing into what he was about to do, not only in that industry, but the tech industry and everything else. He was about to be so much bigger than what he was as a basketball player.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open tonight. We're talking about the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to talk a little bit more, too, about Kobe Bryant and basketball. I mean, we really haven't talked that much about his game and his five NBA titles and what he meant and playing with Shaquille O'Neal and Jackson. Give me the coach's first name. Phil, right. I'm blanking. Phil Jackson. And what he meant to the NBA and just basketball in general. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher tonight. Our focus is on Kobe Bryant, his life and his legacy. Phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joining us on the phone line right now is Tracy Murray, former assistant coach with the LA Lakers, worked with Kobe Bryant, played with Kobe Bryant. And before we lose you, Tracy, your final thoughts that you wanted to share on Kobe.
Well, people, you know, he was so great as a basketball player that, you know, would get lost in all of this other than, I want to give, condolences to the other family members that were lost in that accident. But I also... want to touch on his daughter for a second. I mean, she was really going to be a superstar. She's really intelligent, beautiful. She was talented. She's 13 years old, and you got your whole life ahead of you to lose your life in that accident as well. It's tough. I mean, Kobe as a father, I mean, you had to be around him to see it. He's an incredible father. He was a great husband, you know. I mean, he grew up right in front of our eyes. And when you see a guy grow up from 18 years old to 41 years old in a public eye, you know, he's vulnerable because he's able to make mistakes in front of you, grow from that, mature from that, and be the man that he was today that impacted so many in a positive realm. So I just want everybody to understand what they saw from 18 to 41 was a maturation of life. And it was just incredible to see a young man grow into a man and be the type of influence that he was, the inspiration he was. And I just wanted to just touch on that.
I'm Tracy Murray. Thank you so much for joining us for your insights and thoughts on Kobe Bryant. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Kelly Evans, we should talk about Kobe Bryant's philanthropic side. We know he was a great basketball player. We know that he was a devoted father. We know that he was a husband. But Kobe Bryant sort of put his money where his mouth was, right? Let's talk a little bit about that. Is that getting enough focus, attention?
It started today. I started to notice that it picked up. There were a lot of articles going around about it. And so, yeah, he is starting to be recognized as that person off the court. You know, he wasn't as vocal about it. You know, there weren't a lot of press releases going on with what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But when he did give, he gave. You know, I just saw a video floating around where last month, there was a car accident, and he stopped, gave his time, and he directed traffic, made sure everyone was okay. You know, he and his wife through the Kobe and Vanessa Family Foundation gave $1 million to the National African American museum, so they are founding donors for that. And it's just so much that he's got going on.
And the curator of the sports section mm-hmm. of the museum came out and talked today about Kobe mm-hmm. Bryant's commitment, his interest, donating one of his jerseys to the museum. So, Coach, he was involved in so many different things. And when people die, it seems like then we find out so much more that they were doing than we even knew about before.
Which is so unfortunate. Nothing against the, you know, the media, my colleague here.
Oh, Kelly, no offense taken.
But it's true. You know,
but in fairness, can we know everything?
Well, Kobe was a very private person. He was mm-hmm. private, beyond private for most people when you talk about private. But when you talk about athletes in general, you know, we're going to focus on what they do on the court and anything negative, but we're not going to delve into what they're doing, you know, on the positive side away from the court. You know, we don't do that media-wise, and that's a disservice, and somehow we have to work together with athletes to make that happen a little bit more.
And what we know is really, and I saw this report today, that athletes really are the most recognizable people mm-hmm. in the world. I mean, they cross so many different barriers, right? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are still open. Let's go back to the phone lines and Ramon calling from Silver Spring. Go right ahead, you Ramon.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. I just wanted to say I'm from D.C. I'm a Wizards fan, okay? But certain people, you just follow them because of who they are. It's like people will say Kobe was a role model. You know, he wasn't just a role model. Kobe was a goal model. You understand? He shows you how to attain your goals, because the biggest thing I think people forget about Kobe is that Kobe hated to lose. And
I don't know if folks forgetting about that, Ramon. I think people who follow Kobe Bryant knew about that. And I think that's one of the things I wanted to talk to Kelly and the coach about, was whether or not his drive, right, whether or not that was a positive for his teammates or negative. Because, you know, he had a beef with Shaq, and he said Shaq was out of shape. Shaq wasn't working hard enough. We could be winning more titles if he was in the gym working like I am at 5 in the morning. Now, Kobe won 5 titles, but I got a feeling if Kobe was sitting here right now and we asked him, he would have probably said, if Shaq was in better shape, if Shaq was more committed, I would have passed MJ. I would have had 7 or 8 titles. You think I'm right about that, Kelly? I feel I'm right about that.
He can't put that on Shaq, but I get what you're saying. You're right. But he can't put that on Shaq. But, yeah, you always have to have that one person, that motivator. You know, if you don't have it and everyone is complacent on the team, you won't move. But, of course, Kobe was that guy. I've interviewed Kobe dozens of times. I covered NBA in Memphis, so I was able to go to the visitor's locker room, get quotes from him, and he was just a driven guy. And he's not going to let you get by being lazy.
Coach, I'm going to throw this out because Kelly kind of brought it up, right?
Well, let me throw this at first. We talk about the we get caught up into the fact that he said he was lazy and couldn't mm-hmm. win. But what's left out is the first part of that conversation, and it was that he felt that Shaq was the most and could be the most dominant player
correct.
In the league if
right. he if put in the work.
Right.
Right.
Do you think Shaq didn't put in the work? I mean, now we're going coach and player. Come on now, coach and player, you are.
I have to agree with Kobe. If Shaq would have put in more work, I mean, if he would have been more diligent in I think in his taking care of his physical being mm-hmm. as well as his mentality. There were times where he would shut it off, and there were times where he was walking up and down the court. There were times where he wasn't going 100%. No,
in my sweetest Southern voice.
The Southern Belle comes out.
I disagree with you on that, because I think Shaq, he was what he was. Mm-hmm. He was a larger guy. Mm-hmm. He could move up and down the court as quick as the other guys could. It was not in his DNA. He was good at being who he was.
Yes, I agree
so
with that.
So I think he was good at being dominant in the paint. That was one.
But he did get a little heavier, though, in those later.
There was some time when he was. When I talk,
he was eating good.
I think that was Kobe's problem. Right?
Yeah, I think that's what Kobe was sick on that.
That's right. All right. Let's see. I want to get in our last call before we run out of time. Adada calling from Virginia. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I just wanted to make the point known that it's been said over and over again that a lot of people are, a lot of us are, you know, at a loss about the tragedy. But I think that because no one is to blame for that, I think that everyone does not know where to put their emotions and their anger or frustration or sadness. And I think at the end of the day, it's humanity at its barest essential, where, you know, we cannot, you know, blame anyone. We have to deal with those emotions. And Kobe was, you know, a firestorm. And, you know, we have a son that looks, you know, looks up to him and admires him. And he's in AAU. And he's, you know, he even said to us, you know, hey, you know, there's only 1% of NBA players that make it. You know, or, you know, people that make it to the NBA, and I'm one of them. And that's what he's telling us at 14. So I think that all of us, I think that this tragedy, I mean, with all of the other families that have lost their lives, you know, our condolences go out, you know, to them. You know, I find myself crying, you know, off and on sporadically as I did with my father's death, because Kobe was such an icon, and he was such an influence in the community and the people. And I think that humanity at its barest is really, you know, where it's at. And
all right, thank you so much, Adada. I want to let our guests get in before we run out of time. She sort of hits on something here where, you know, I think she nailed it, where there is really no one to blame, at least at this point of what we know. I know they say that there was fog and should they have been flying, but we don't know. I think the Burbank Airport gave the pilot, you know, the opportunity to go ahead and fly, and he may have been trying to turn around. Before we run out of time, let's sort of just end on a high note, Kelly. He goes from number 8 to number 24, comes into the league. He's a rookie. He's 18 years old, and then he changes to 24. Was he better when he was number 8 or better when he was number 4? These are rapid-fire questions. This is a straight-up basketball question. Kelly, go.
He was a grown-A man at 24.
That means he was better?
He was stronger.
Coach.
Wiser.
He was more evolved, more determined at 20 when he put on 24.
And have we ever figured out why he switched numbers 8 to 24? Was it a marketing thing? Was he trying to be one number higher than MJ?
He said he evolved.
That was his thing?
That was
evolved.
His thing.
But why 24?
Well, Mike D'Antoni was his favorite player over in Italy, who's the coach of Houston Rockets.
Yeah. Oh, see,
so that was a honor of to him.
Yeah. Did he wear 24?
Yes.
You see, Coach, you're dropping knowledge. I didn't know that. He is Coach Jeff Coach Weems, HUR Voices announcer, former player, and outstanding coach. She is Kelly Evans, editor, writer, and producer with ESPN's The Undefeated. And we were joined by Tracy Murray, former assistant coach with the LA Lakers. We thank you all for joining us for this conversation. We thank you all for your phone calls as we remembered Kobe Bryant on this night. That's the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, January 27th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.